Drive Home with Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier. Weekdays 2 to 6. Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston. A Radio.com sports station. It's Dickerson and Wiggy. Dick and Wiggy on Sports Radio WEEI.
We want you to understand that this will not be taxing on your body, but we want 64 more games. We want the revenue from national media. We want the gate. We want those games. There is no way a team is going to go in there and say we're going to play two games with our backup quarterback. It ain't happening.
I don't even know why we discuss it then. If the dean of Boston Sports Radio says not going to happen, it will not happen. You trust me. I would not lie to you. They will not play 18 games.
I think it's going to happen. I think Glenn is wrong on that one. I know he was right about movement of the ball and basketball, but I think he's wrong on this one. I think the NFL is going to make that happen, and they're going to sweeten the pot for players financially. And I don't know what that'll be. Maybe that'll be some type of guaranteed money in there and that kind of thing. Maybe they'll say, listen, we're going to guarantee you, you know, four games, that kind of thing, if you make the, you know, anybody who is on the opening day roster.
Besides ownership,
mm-hmm.
Do you think there's a huge clamoring for this? Because I don't feel like football fans in general, there's this big, great human cry.
I think football fans want it.
But do you really hear football fans go, oh, when are they going to do an 18-game regular season?
But you do hear them bitching about the preseason being too long, and that's what this is, right? I think people are looking at it wrong. It's not adding two games plus keeping the four. It's eliminating two preseason games that nobody wants. Anybody.
Right. I know, but nobody. I don't think anybody really, outside of the owners, I don't think anybody really wants 18 regular season games. I don't think anybody's clamoring for that, Ken. That's my point.
I don't think anybody's out there saying, oh, they should do an 18-game regular season. But I think what Ken's point is that if they said, all right, we're getting rid of two preseason games and we're going to add two regular season games to the schedule to make it 18 games, I think a lot of fans would go, oh, that's great. That's perfect. More football, more real football will be fun. I think the thing that hurts it is that players can only play in 16 games. Because now they'll go, wait a second. I do love the fact that we get two more games, but I don't want to see a backup quarterback. I don't want to see, you know, whether it's Stidham or Hoyer and these two games because they can't play Brady.
I'm all for adding games. I'm all for an 18-game mm-hmm. regular season. I'm all for eliminating two preseason games. But if it doesn't happen, it's no big deal to me. I don't need those two extra regular season games.
Right, but I think Ken's point is this, and I agree with him. I still think the preseason is just long and drawn out and boring. Think about this. You get through the first two preseason games. You're like, oh, we still got two preseason games left.
Well, Wiggy, I'm like that after the first preseason game, though.
Right, but if it's two preseason games, it's not that bad. You know, you can say, all right, it's two preseason games. Maybe we see Brady in the second one for a quarter or so. But then we're right into the regular season and we can start, you know, playing real football. Get rid of those two preseason games. And I think if you sweeten the pot for players, an 18-game season, guys will be on board with, because, like I said this before, it's about putting money in, you know, a majority of the players' pockets, right? That's what, if they know they can make two more extra game checks, they're all for it.
Oh, it's all about dollars and cents. It's simple. It's not hard math. The players are going to make more money. The owners certainly are going to make more money. So there's no doubt in my mind, Wiggy, it's going to happen. To what incarnation, I don't know. Whether that means it's 18 games where players can only play 16, where players can only play 17.
Stupid. Like that, to me, I think is
you think the 16 out of 18 is stupid?
Yeah, I think playing where you could say, all right, we're going to do 18 games, but players only can play in 16 games. I think that is stupid.
Okay, but let me ask you this. You think it's stupid. How does the NFL, how do they get around and how do they sell their fans towards, listen, we think it's so important to protect the bodies and the heads and the mm-hmm. minds, the physical nature of our players, we don't want them playing in 18 games. How do you get around that? Because right now, the owners and ownership looks pretty good because, you know, right now it's, well, he's only going to play 16 games. We're going to add 2 games, but players aren't going to play 18. They're not going to damage their bodies.
I don't think you can put them in too much danger. I don't think you can sell it, though, Greg, because you got to think about this, right? If you're playing 16 games versus 18 games, you're still putting your body and you're putting yourself in harm's way. It's not like they're going, well, you know what? We're going to play an 18-game schedule, but the players can only play in 7 or 8 games. You know what I mean? You're not cutting it in half and right. how much. You're basically saying, oh, because them not playing in 2 games is going to really save their body or protect them in some type of way, like health-wise. No, I mean, 16 games, you still run the risk of, you know, anything possibly happening. I think
But those percentages go up when you add those 2 games.
I understand the percentages go up, but the thing that they have to do, the thing that they're doing now is all the other stuff. We talked about it. Mm-hmm. Training camp is now, what, 14 days? And so they look and go, eh, training camp's not as bad. You know, the 18-game schedule that we're playing, guess what? You don't get to practice in full pads. Look what we've done. We've basically taken that away. You know, guys are not practicing. We were practicing again in the Super Bowl against the Rams. We were wearing full pads during that week of the Super Bowl.
Really?
Super Bowl practice week. Mm. We were wearing full pads and getting after it. And now, these guys, I hear some of these stories with these guys. They're like, yeah, we're out of, you know, we don't even put shoulder pads on no more.
Guys are just in shells on Thursdays and Fridays a lot of the time.
Well, now at times, you know, after week, you know, 3 or 4, some of these guys are like, shoot, we haven't put shoulder pads, you know, during practice. We don't put shoulder pads on no more. And so I think that's their way of saying, you know, they might alter that a little bit and say, hey, here's what we're doing. We're even cutting back more with, you know, padded practices and that kind of thing to help the 18-game practice schedule.
So you believe that the whole 16 out of 18 game thing is not going to be let me rephrase that.
Mm-hmm.
If the owners come in with a proposal of 18 games,
yep.
but without that 16 out of 18 caveat,
right.
if you're saying to players, we're going to pay you for 18,
right.
and you're going to play 18, you don't see that as a roadblock to this being done.
No,
you think players will accept it?
I think players will ultimately, I mean, obviously, if you put the 16-game thing on the table, it's more of a benefit for the players.
Right.
But the owners know, and you said this, why would you want to go to a game, let's call it week 16, right, in an 18-game schedule, week 16, and you got to go to a game and you're not going to see Brady play.
Isn't that a glorified preseason game?
Yeah, you're
really?
Not going to see Edelman play. Now, I know it's going to count during the season, but how as a coach do I prepare? What games do I keep Brady out of? When do I sit Brady? When do I sit my starters? Well, do I sit two linemen in this game? Do I sit one lineman? I mean, I think there's a lot of problems there that it can cause.
Coaches don't want to deal with that.
Right, that's interesting. I mean, Alex Cora sits guys on Sunday. He strategically gives guys days off. That's interesting
but,
in baseball.
But baseball, Ken, because it's so long, you can get away with it. And football, if you sit a guy, we all know that one game can determine home field advantage throughout the postseason, especially around here in New England, versus having to go to Kansas City in the AFC Championship
game.
Well,
now you've got to build a deeper team. You need a backup quarterback worth his salt. That
right,
makes him
but,
more
but
important.
But now what happens is...
you want to find them for me, Ken?
But Brian Hoyer.
So now what happens is, right, how do you build this team? Right,
Ken, thank you, Chris, you have to build
a team, right? Because we talked about field goal kickers, yep. So now you have to carry an extra one. What's the number of people I can have on this roster? Because now you're going to eat into guys that could potentially make this team. A guy that could potentially make this team that deserves to make the team, the coach goes, sorry, we can't keep you because we got to keep, Johnny Alberts for an extra week because he's a backup kicker, so we got to keep him for 2 weeks. So that actually hurts players or a backup quarterback.
Well, they're going to add roster spots. I mean, that's got.
But how many roster spots
are they going to add? They don't.
I've heard 57 thrown out or 60.
Right. So they're at 53 right now. 53 is the active roster.
Right.
Wouldn't you rather have more offensive linemen, defensive linemen, linebackers using up those spots as opposed to another backup quarterback who can't play or a backup kicker that you're not even sure can kick?
Right, because you can't play a backup quarterback on, guess what, on punt team or punt return or any special teams. So you start eating into guys potentially making the team. So if you're at, saying 57, that's only four more roster spots. But don't you got to carry an extra field goal kicker or somebody who could do, you know, potentially be a backup, a punter that could do both?
Where are we finding these field goal kickers, by the way? Because half the kickers...
There's always 15 guys that try out when you need a field goal kicker. They're just,
guess
they're
what?
Just sitting
and
there.
What happens to them, Ken? They don't play. They don't get signed because they suck.
All right, fine. Half so one game you go for kickers. Two all the time. That'll be great.
So half the field goal kickers in this league don't can't kick field to goals. Begin with. You make it that simple. Oh, just don't kick field goals. Just go for
you
it.
You guys are making it so complicated. You're getting into the minutiae of roster spots.
But that's what you have to you
have to consider that when you're when you're deciding to say, oh, well, 16 out of 18, and I can't play these guys all 18 games. And then when do I bring in this kicker? When do I use this? When do I use this Jermaine Wiggins guy to be my kicker? Do I use him in the third week or in the seventh week? I said it earlier on this morning. Coaches, they don't want more decisions on their plate. They don't want to make another decision.
But then, Ken, if you know that they got Gostkowski for 16 weeks, now you're only really bringing in a kicker to kick for 2 weeks.
Well, tough luck. Do your job as a coach. The fans want less preseason, more games that count. The players want an extra $2.6 billion divided amongst them. So I don't understand why people are against this. It's actually
I'm not against it. I say play the 18 games, eliminate the 16-game thing where players, so players have the ability to play in every game. So now coaches don't have to make those decisions. They don't have to carry an extra kicker. You want to make the roster bigger so you can have extra bodies. I'm fine with that. And then guarantee those guys some money. Maybe you say, hey, in an 18-game schedule, we're going to guarantee you guys 5 or 6 games.
Hey, I'm a horrible, horrible human being. I don't care whether guys get – I hope they don't get hurt. I don't want guys to get hurt. I don't want them to have long-term injuries. But to me, it's like I want my entertainment value first. I don't want to see the dregs of society – playing 2 games out of 18 during the regular season. I want to see the best of the best. I want to see starting quarterbacks. I want to see starting offensive linemen. I want to see starting linebackers. And you know what? If the percentages go up that they may get hurt, well, if they're okay with, if Jermaine Wiggins, a tight end, if he's playing in the league right now, if he's okay with it, if he's okay with putting his body on the line for 2 extra games, what the hell do I care?
Right.
Why do I care?
And when you look at it, that's why I said it's about the guaranteed money. So if there's a way to sweeten the pot for players where the players are going, you know what? Hey, 2 extra games means 2 preseason games I don't have to play in, but now I'm able to get 4 or 5 weeks of my salary guaranteed because this is something that we negotiated in. Hey, that works for me because who knows? There are some guys that might make a team and go, you know what? I might not even be here week 6 or 7, but I know if I can get 4 or 5 weeks guaranteed, at least that puts me in a position where financially, if something happens, I can, you know, hopefully have the ability to wait for my next team to come call and that kind of thing. So it might sweeten the pot for the majority of players that are like that. The Bradys and the Breezes and the Rodgers, you know, they don't give a damn. They're making millions. They don't care about that. But it's the way the other guys, it's the Landon Roberts. It's like we talked about. It's the Kyle Van Noy's. It's the, you know, the Derek Rivers. It's
guys who haven't had that big score yet.
Yeah, it's the Dedrick Wises. It's like, all right, hey, you know, I'm living paycheck to paycheck in this league.
617-779-7937. Al in Rhode Island, you're up next. Hello.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Oh, it's wonderful now.
Wonderful. Well, you've been dealing with enough stupidity. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can throw it at me, but you've been dealing with enough stupidity today. This is my second go-round listening.
Obviously, oh, thank you, Albert. Appreciate that. We were so stupid earlier, you decided to come back for more. God bless you.
Yeah, exactly. Your stupidity is attractive.
It's all that matters. It's all I'm trying to do, attract people.
If this were to happen, the NFL was to go to 18 games, there is no team in the league that would benefit more so than you guys. Here's why.
Okay.
You have, if you look at your collective roster, you have men that start and contribute to Super Bowl winning teams that if you put them back into the pool in the entire league was to redraft, you have men that start and have rings that would not start on other teams. But because Bill Belichick coaches them and because you play in a special ed division, you win. So, Just imagine the rest of the league is leaps and bounds behind you with their starters. You have glorified backups starting, and you win. So imagine if these nitwits have to now try to find backup players to go against your replacement players. Tom Brady will get rest. Your starters will get rest. These people, your starters will be on the field. Your coaches will be on the field laughing at the Jets, Dolphins, Bills, Browns, any other team in the league except
Giants.
For like three. Giants, yes, Giants, Redskins, Green Bay Packers, the rest of the nitwits in the league who can't get it right. And you have idiots calling your show. You want to overplay a 42, 43, however old Tom
Albert,
Brady is.
Albert, it doesn't matter anymore. Brady's going to retire in another year. And remember, no one's going to pay attention. No one's going to pay attention to football around here, Albert. Once Brady retires and Belichick goes away, we're not going to care about football anymore. Remember,
Dickerson, were you a big football guy before?
Yes, I was. I was a big football game. I was a big football guy growing up here. Yes.
Yeah, of course you were. Yeah, you were drinking beers every weekend. You were watching.
No, I was in middle school, so I wasn't drinking beers, dummy.
You probably were, but here's what's funny. You and everybody were watching, but the games are blacked out, though. So
I was listening on the radio, dum-dum.
Patriots did good in 96. I mean, they got to the Super
Bowl. I'm talking about the 1980s when the games weren't on TV locally for home games.
Right.
But I watched road games.
Okay, and then when they put them on local TV, you got blacked out anyway. So if you and everyone else
got blacked out, that makes no sense, Albert.
Pats were up 3-0 in that game against Chicago.
I'll never forget that. They get that field goal by Tony Franklin after that turnover.
They should have played Grogan. They should have played Grogan in that game.
And then they should have played Flutie 2 years ago on that Denver playoff game.
Like a 7-year-old.
Are you still talking? Are you still on the air?
Yeah, he's here.
Medication time. Medication.
I'm sorry, what, Albert?
Answer my question.
I didn't hear the question.
If you were watching the games and you were a fan then,
I was.
Why were your games not on your local television network? If you were all watching, like you say you are, why were you not able to?
Because I'm just one person. I didn't have that much power as a 12-year-old.
Well, because the team wasn't that good.
Albert, I would say that most people out there, the majority of Patriot fans now, did not watch the games back then. That's either... Albert, what you don't seem to understand, because Albert, shut your mouth and listen. What you don't seem to understand, Albert, is that over time, fans of various sports or various things are developed. So if you were born in, let's say, 1985, you're 95, 05, 15, you're 34 years old right now.
Yep.
You're right in the wheelhouse.
Right.
You're a huge football fan, because that's all you've ever known.
Right.
All you've ever known is great football and championships and all that other stuff. You're not going away.
And for those who weren't, some of those may go away.
Think of all the football fans they've developed in their teens and 20s and 30s.
Okay, so that means the New England sports fan likes the winner. That's what we're essentially saying, right?
No, nobody likes a winner. No. All over the place, people hate winners.
So you're not distinguishing yourself. That means you're right. I agree with you.
No, you weren't around when the team sucked in the 80s.
Listen, moron. Listen.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
I was born in 75.
Yeah.
And I was, so in 85, 86, when they went to their first Super Bowl, I remember that. But they were decent, and I think when did Parcells get here?
Parcells got here in 93.
93, right? So they made their little run right around then. I remember them getting Bledsoe, paying Bledsoe, and then they drafted McGinnis.
They want you to cook the dinner.
So the Patriots during the Parcells era were a pretty good team. They were making their way. 96, they ultimately got to the Super Bowl. So during that era, I mean, I was a Pats fan and watching them. And, of course, prior to maybe 85 and 84, 83, 82. I mean, I don't really remember those days, but they weren't very good. So they
didn't watch them.
Yeah, and so they played the Giants games around here because guess what? The Giants during that era were good.
But Patriots!
But they also had Giants fans who were, what, 50 at the time because they remember the Giants from before the Patriots came around. Guess what? No offense to those people. They're either dead or dying.
Yes.
You've raised Patriot fans now over the last 25 years. Those people aren't going away.
No.
They may
their interest level may dip based on the team's play, but they're still going to be there. But that happens everywhere.
I don't even think it'll dip based on their play. I think what will end up happening, knowing the Crafts and how they work, even when they move on from Brady and Bill, because it's a success, they're still going to put a competitive product out on that football.
But at some point in time, Wiggy, they're going to have three or four just absolutely dog crap years.
I don't think so.
It just happens. It happens everywhere.
Did it happen to the Pittsburgh Steelers? Where they just had, like, when you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes, the Steelers have had their fit. Right? Am I right, Ken? The Steelers have had their...
They're not bottomed out, but they've
had some bottomed out, but they've had their
seasons.
They've had their, they've had their below 500 season.
I don't see the Patriots bottoming out. And I see the Patriots, even after that, still being 9-7, still being a team that can, you know, they're fighting to make the postseason.
Right.
When you say, like, bottomed out, like, I don't never see the Patriots being like the Detroit Lions, where they go 2-14, or where they're, you know, 5-11.
Oh, I can definitely see 5-11, 6-10. It's a natural course of sports. It happens. 617-779-7937. Wiggy and Dickerson here on WEEI.
The home of the best off-season Patriots coverage. Boston Sports Station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. It's the proven program that will fit into your summer while helping you fit into your bathing suit, lose weight starting your very first week. All right, now we got a Florio bomb here regarding Rob Gronkowski.
Uh-oh.
According to Florio at Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports, a source close to Gronkowski pegs his potential for a first annual unretirement this year at 40%.
Okay.
40% Gronk is back, per Mike Florio.
I say 95% we will see Gronkowski with either this year or next year.
I won't go that high. Next year? Next year.
Yeah,
he take a whole year off?
Maybe takes a whole year off. But he comes back next year.
I think if he takes a whole year off, he's done.
Nah, I don't think so.
I'm not going 99%, but I'll go 75, 80%. Yeah, I think he's coming back.
Now, this says the factor that could be considered, if Brady makes a direct appeal, that could be the difference maker. Do you believe that? If they struggle, whatever, in the middle of the season, Brady starts to beg.
I think Brady's already begged.
Yeah, I think Brady,
it's already been out there.
Let's see how bad it gets.
I think Tom says, hey, Rob, stay in shape, and when you come back, don't worry. We're just going to throw you the ball. You don't have to worry about blocking. We'll put you a nice little package together.
And you're not asking if and when Rob Gronkowski comes back. You're not saying you've got to be the Rob Gronkowski of 3 years ago or 2 years ago. Just another piece. As long as they bring him back and they tell him, or they expect him to be a piece of the puzzle and not the main puzzle, I think he'll come back and he'll be
successful.
And
he's still good enough to do that. And saw it last year.
Can he block as well at a reduced size?
Let me tell you something about blocking is so overrated.
Whoa, wait a minute. Oh, I found Wiggy's blocking statistics.
Oh, your ratings just went down.
Madden rating blocking statistic. Jermaine Wiggins in 2004, 17. Not very good.
But it's it's overrated in the sense of you having to be that point of attack blocker. And if he gets down in a little bit of weight, so be it. Nowadays, look at it's all about edge rushers. And guess what edge rushers don't want to do? They don't want to set the edge in the run game no more. So they got no problem with being blocked. So that's not the big deal. When Gronkowski comes back, his ability to work the seam, work the middle of the field, that's the most important thing.
By the way, this Florio source, I'd say 90% chance it's his agent. It's Rosenhaus, given the ties we've seen with Florio and Rosenhaus. Yeah. So he's got an invested interest in Gronk coming back. But
I was going to say, is Rosenhaus saying what he hopes Gronkowski would do, or does he really think? Does he think that Gronkowski will? Or is he hoping?
Yeah, I think it probably
trying to create a stir and a buzz.
Game two of the Sox and Jays tonight at 7:10 on the Shaw Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. It's Andrew Cashner night. So tune in. Big night.
Oh, no, I got it. You asked me earlier. It took me 2 hours.
What's a sobriquet?
The Mark James nickname?
Yes.
Andrew Trashner. Okay, is that perfect? Is that
that's
Mark James or what?
That's
perfect.
That's
you are becoming Mark James.
Trashner.
Yes. Working with him too much.
I will come over there. I will punch your lights out if you ever say that
so
again,
much,
Ken.
Mark James is starting to rub off.
Mark James and Jermaine Wiggins on WEI.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Right now, I just need you to get real loose. Get comfortable. Grab your loved ones, or grab your love partner. And if you're by yourself, no worries.
Don't tell me who this is.
after me. Gonna do the two-step, then cowboy.
Little Nas X.
This is the new one. Oh, damn. What the hell was his name? Shoot. This is a new one. This is Giddy Up.
The Get Up.
The Get Up.
By who?
Forget his name.
A new rapper, Mike Mutnansky.
This
is Mike.
I like it.
AKA.
I like this. This is good stuff.
AKA Muddy M.
Muddy Mutt.
Muddy M.
You still have your rankings over there? Because there was somebody I wanted to ask
you
about.
Yes, I have them right here.
Well, hold on to those for a second. I'll get to them.
Yes.
Let's grab David in Florida, who's got some questions about Bella. I don't have that much patience to wait for you. Thank you for the phone call, David. 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. How do you think, the one thing we haven't talked about in regards to this 16 games or play 16 out of 18 for players, how do you think certain guys would handle it? Because I know there's one quarterback who plays here that probably wouldn't be a huge fan, as much as he'd like to not have to play 18 games at the age of 41 or 42. But there's a quarterback here who I think wouldn't take too kindly to somebody saying, you're going to sit out this game and you're going to sit out that game.
Well, but that's how...
That guy.
And that's the competitive nature. But I think a lot of players will... You know, a lot of players will think like that in the sense of where Brady's doing it because he's just a competitor at heart and he wants to do it. But at the end of the day, he knows because he came on with Drew getting hurt and then him ultimately taking Drew's spot. And a lot of players know that all it takes is one or two games where you don't play. And if they're sitting, you say you're not playing well and they have to sit you because it's the rule. And then next player goes in there, performs well. Now when you come back, they're like, oh, okay, we're going to split your playing time with this player because he's been doing a good job. And now he ultimately continues and then boom, you've lost your job.
But you think Brady could handle it? He could handle having to sit out two regular season games, two maybe key regular season games?
No, because, I mean, we've seen Tom not want to come out of
a preseason game.
45-3 blowouts in the fourth quarter against the Buffalo Bills. So you think he's going to want to say, all right.
No, that's my point.
No. And I think a lot of players are going to be like that for, you know, a few different reasons. And that's why I think that the NFLPA is going to have to come back to it in a different direction where they might say, okay, here's what we can do to potentially make this 18-game schedule work without doing the 16 games.
All right, I want to go back to this Rob Gronkowski story through Pro Football Talk and Mike Florio. One of the things that he writes here, and again, according to this story, Florio writes, quote, a source close to Gronkowski, and we all think we know who that is.
I hope it has to do more with love of the game than wanting to make a little more money.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Thanks, Peter. A source close to Gronkowski pegs his potential for a first annual unretirement at 40%. He goes on and he says Gronk's enjoying his life, doesn't need the money, he's having a blast. Question becomes whether Gronkowski misses his teammates and or the games after August becomes September. And that's kind of what I've always thought is, okay, if you're a football player, how could you not love not having to hit anybody or put pads on or have to run gassers or any of that other stuff that you guys do in July and August? How could you love to not do that? And then,
you gotta
love not being a part of that, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
But he's not thinking about that. See, I think that's what a lot of people miss when they say that. Like, I would kill to play right now.
Right?
Now, granted, I don't want to deal with training camp. I don't want to have to deal with the running test and doing all that. And like you said, all the gases and, you know, training camp meetings and all that. But you miss that, like, camaraderie in the games, right? Getting ready to go to the games, in the locker room, preparing for the games. Like, you miss that. Being in the huddle, like during a TV timeout, and you know, and you're sitting in there and you're chopping it up, and you know, Tom's like, all right, this is the play that we're running, and like that's the part that you miss. That's the part that you love, is being able to compete on this highest stage in the actual game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Gronk doesn't miss what's going on now or what's going to go on over the next month and a half.
He'll miss the other part. He'll miss that, like he said at the ESPYs, you know, one of the biggest things that he's proud of is that people have always said he's a great teammate. He'll miss that. He'll miss that, you know, trying to find that locker room feeling that you can never replace. Like, you can't, where are you going to get that? And so he'll miss that. He'll miss the fact of getting ready to play in the games. He'll miss the fact of being in the games and competing and having the opportunity to know, okay, this play that we just called is designed for me to be the number one read, and I have a chance to make a play. That's the stuff that he's going to miss. He's going to miss that itch.
He's just not coming back.
And ultimately, he'll get to a certain point where he's going to say to himself, and this is what I think, because he's still at that age, and we haven't really seen many players do the Barry Sanders or Calvin Johnson,
right,
where they were in their primes and just said, and they walked away.
He's Dunsky.
See, didn't Christian change his mind? He was done, yes, and he wasn't done, and he was coming back.
Sorry? Yeah, that was Charlie.
I'm sorry, I get Christian's similar predictions. Guys, yep. I get his predictions confused.
But even with the Calvin Johnson thing and even with the Barry Sanders thing, the thing about them is they wanted to come back and play. The only problem was Detroit wasn't going to trade them or send them somewhere else to play. So
they also wanted more money.
But at least
Calvin Johnson definitely wanted more money.
Well, but they still had that, like, they still wanted to come
the
back.
Itch.
Yeah, they still wanted to play. They just wanted to play in the right situation. Where I think Gronk's in the perfect situation, where if he can come back in week 8, 9, 10, show up, you know, get his feet back under him,
absolutely playing next year.
And then roll into the postseason.
Wait till your show starts.
Roll into the postseason, make a couple big catches. I mean,
what do you look at as a perfect time for him to come back after the bye week?
After the bye week. And if you see how their schedule sets up, it works out perfectly for the Patriots, because after the bye week is when they have that tough little run.
December 1st, Houston Texans.
Right, and what December 1st is
right after the bye week,
and then but if you look at that run after that, they have the Texans. Who else do they have? I don't have the schedule in front of me. I'll pull up that schedule, but they have a pretty decent run where you look at like, oh, okay,
Chiefs, Bengals, Bills, and Dolphins.
All right, so Chiefs, Bengals, Bills, and Dolphins. All right, so they got the Chiefs and the Texans. So
now, I don't care who he's facing in the regular season. To me, you bring back Gronk, it's, okay, these four games are your glorified preseason.
Right.
You play for the postseason.
Yeah.
We brought you back for the postseason.
And we brought you back to really, you know, hey, we're going to throw you the ball some. We're going to, you know, whether it's trying to, like, we saw him last year in the postseason.
Right.
It might be 1, 2, 3 catches in one game. It might be, you know, 4 or 5 catches.
And I think if he does come back, and I kind of alluded that we discussed this earlier a little bit, or alluded to it, if he does come back, you have to temper your expectations with Rob Gronkowski. If he comes back, you have to look at it and say, okay, Rob Gronkowski is not the number one option. He's not the number two option. He's a nice piece to your offensive puzzle, so to speak. He's not the same guy that you're not going to expect him to be the same guy he was two seasons ago.
Right, but it's a little bit easier for him if he does come back for the postseason, right? Let's say the postseason, they generally play in how many games? They play in the divisional game, the AFC championship game, and the Super Bowl. That's 3 games.
Right.
So they say, hey, Rob, you know, come back for the end of the year. We'll get you the ball. But those 3 games, you got a chance to catch 5 or 6 passes in each of those games.
And by the way, I'm wrong. The bye week, there's 6 games after the bye week.
Yeah.
Eagles, Cowboys, then Texans, then the finish.
Right. That sounded a little, short. It sounded like a late bye week.
So you figure Eagles, Cowboys, Texans, and
Chiefs,
the other team. So you got a nice little run after that where you're the Patriots. But if you're saying to Rob, hey, you come back, we'll get you some action, get your feet wet, but come the postseason, who knows? You might be the star of the postseason like you've been before, and you don't have all that wear and tear from the whole season to worry about.
We'll come back and wrap things up. Wiggy and Dick here on WEEI.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
We're going to make our way out of here momentarily. Dale and Keith coming in. Speaking of Dale and Rich, Wiggy, been giving our, or you've been giving your Madden ratings for various personalities at the station.
Personnel ratings.
Thanks to a number of NFL players just losing their minds over their own Madden ratings. DeMarcus Cousins, DeMarcus Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Who's the other one?
Keenan Allen.
Another Keenan one lost his mind, telling he's not going to play. Oh, I'm not going to play Madden anymore.
Bro, who's making this?
Hey, that's how I was when that Carolina rating came out. Like, what the?
51. Quickly, your ratings for Dale and for Rich. Your Madden ratings for these two guys.
All right, social media for Dale, 93. Because I think
he's high.
Yeah, he's on social
media.
He's
that active on social
media. I had Rich at a 92. They're on social.
They're on it, but I don't think of those two guys as being like
you're not on it that much.
I'm not on it.
Yeah, I had your rating relatively low.
50?
I had you more like a 34.
34?
Yeah, you're not on it that much. I follow you.
That is outrageous.
And I don't see.
You don't follow me then.
Yeah, I do follow you.
You do?
Yeah, you on Instagram?
No. Exactly. Not on IG.
Yeah, you're not IG. So, entertainment value. I had Dale at an 88. The Dalian, if the Dalian comes out, he bumps up to about a 95.
Yeehaw.
Rich, I had him at a 92 entertainment factor.
Oh, boy. So Rich is higher than Dale.
Yes.
Entertainment, really.
Have you ever heard of
Kiefer
Madness?
I have.
Very entertaining.
I have. I'll take your word for it.
We got to get
if you say so.
We got to get a Dalian Madness.
Not a big Kiefer Madness fan over here.
Yeah, likability, I had Dale at a 93 because it seems like he's very well liked.
Uh-huh.
I had Rich a little bit below him at a 90.
I would go Rich is at a 99.
Well, okay.
I don't see how anybody can dislike Rich.
Well, you know, I like him, but you know.
I like them both. But Rich goes a little higher than Dale.
Streets are talking. Enunciation. Dale, I had Dale at a 95 because,
I go 99.
He's the one who came out with sobriquet and nobody knew. Even though he pronounced it wrong. And I had Rich as his enunciation. I had Rich at an 84. So he's got to bump that up a little bit.
I apologize for nothing, Mutt, you loser. At least I know spell. I know how to pronounce sobriquet.
So, see, I call it sobriquet, but I guess it's sobriquet. Accuracy, I had Dale at a 65.
65?
Yeah, on his Chara take, because he said Chara should be a top.
So he loses all those points based on one
loud
take? Plus he said the NHL playoffs reseed. It was totally wrong.
Yes, he said the reseed, so he's been wrong twice. Oh, and
that's bad for Dale to mess up on that.
And he told us that there was a guarantee that Gronkowski would be back.
Yeah.
So his accuracy is at a 65.
Work on that, Dale.
Yeah, Rich, except for Avengers Endgame, which was horrible. And opinionated, I had Dale at a 82 and Rich at an 81. Overall, Dale is an 89, and overall, Rich is a 93.
Let me ask you this. Are they both higher overall than Mark James?
Mark James is the second lowest behind Alex Reamer. Alex Reamer, I have him overall at 26 because he's always yelling about something about 26.
You don't have to go any further, Wiggy. Right. As long as Dale and Rich are ahead of Mark James, they'll be fine.
We had Mark James at a 31.
You're back here tomorrow, aren't you?
I believe so. Tomorrow.
Speaking of Mark James.
Yes, I'm with Mark James.
And Andy Hart tomorrow.
Oh, this should be interesting.
Enjoy yourself tomorrow. I'll be listening.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll get something going.
Ken, nice job over there on the other side.
Good job.
You got it.
This is all Lucy's idea.
Lucy.
The WEI ratings personalities.
Lucy, well done. Dale and Keith, they're up next. Don't forget Wiggy with Mark and Andy Hart tomorrow. Dale and Keith, up next. Sports Radio WEI.